Good to hear, good to hear. My name is Tim. My wife's name is Jen. We're the Bundys going to Ethiopia, Africa. We're so excited what God's been doing in our life. We just got over the 50% mark. We're at 54% of our support raised, so we're so excited. We're like going downhill from here on out, so it's wonderful. God is blessing, and God is encouraging us and keeping us moving forward. Pray for us. We're going on our survey trip tomorrow, so we're heading to Africa, to Ethiopia tomorrow on a plane. So we're excited as ever to get to go there. We're going to spend 2 weeks in Ethiopia and then actually head over to where my wife's family's at, as she's a missionary kid, to Uganda. So we're going to spend a few days over there with her family and then come back after that and continue on with deputation. So we're excited. We only have a few minutes here, so I want you guys to open your Bibles and turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. I've been asking the Lord all week to please make it clear what He wants me to talk with you all about, and I believe He has done that. And even though we have a short time, I'm going to do my best to get through this. And I know at 9:40 we're going to cut it off and be done because Pastor's made that clear. But I think we can get through it all. So today we live in a world that is slowly becoming void of love. The value of life has truly lessened across our world as abortions and other like things have become a way of life. Violence scourges the world today. In Ethiopia, there's the civil war, the Tigray war happening. In Ukraine, of course, Russia's at war with them. We saw in Afghanistan the war there. And we see every day you turn on the news, you'll see violence on there as well. It's everywhere. Compassion has become shown as weakness among our generation. So here it is. It's time we as Christians shine bright. Hear this. For the world today is as dark as it's ever been. And it's only going to get darker. But we have a God that is the embodiment of light. And that light is His love that He has freely given to us. And He's given it to us to shine that light to all the world. Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 31, says, "What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for the day. I thank You for the opportunity to open Your Word and to hear Your Word this morning. I pray we'll be challenged, we'll be moved, we'll be inspired by You. And I pray it won't be me, Tim Bundy, preaching, but I pray it'll be the Lord speaking freely through me, Lord. We love You, Lord. We give You the glory, the honor, praise for all You do in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Bible clearly says God is love. It says in John 13:35, "By this shall all men know that ye are My disciples, if ye have love one to another." So here it is. Listen closely to this. Let's stop trying to blend in with this world of darkness, but try to stand out through our God's light, His love. Not in anger, not in hate, not necessarily in protest, but in love. Somebody once said, "Nobody cares how much you know till they know how much you care." And we see practically that's so much the case. As we have such a desire to bring God's gospel, His love to a world, how many times does the world have wanting nothing to do with it? But as the world looks at you and your friend, your family member, your acquaintance, your coworker, looks at you and sees God working through you, sees the love in your eyes, see that it's real in you, the Holy Spirit has so much ability to work through you. And as they see that you truly care, then they want to know all about what's going on. Number one, I want to share three things with you this morning on God's love. Number one, the encouragement of God's love. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If you skip down a few verses, and it says, as it is written, this is a quote, a callback to Psalms 44, verse 22, where the sons of Korah write and say, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And they say in this passage, throughout this whole chapter of Psalms 44, God, we are trying so hard to do your will. God, we're trying to do what you've commanded of us, what you've asked of us. We're trying to be righteous. We're trying to do what you want us to do. And we are like sheep going to the slaughter. We are being killed all the day long. God, do you hear our cries? God, give us mercy. God, are you even there? They say. And I love how Paul writes here. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And that Christ died on the cross and paid for our sins. It doesn't matter what we face in this life. It doesn't matter if we're killed all the day long. If we are sheep going to the slaughter. It doesn't matter what trials, what tribulations, what loss, what lack we have in this life. We are more than conquerors because of what Christ did for us. That would be what I would call it, an eternal mindset. When you have a mindset focused on eternity, this short life of maybe 80 years only matters if you impact eternity. It only matters. And the things that you can do on this life and the things that happen to you in this life that impact eternity. So it doesn't matter all the hard times. It doesn't matter all the loss and all the lack and all the hardships and the trials. Because all of that pales utterly in comparison to the salvation we have through our Christ. We read here in John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We have a God who says, I understand you're going to face hard times in this world. I understand there's going to be trials. There's going to be tribulations. There's going to be a lot of hard things any Christian that's doing a life for God will face. But be of good cheer. I go before you. I have overcome this world. There is nothing you are going to face that I can't handle. In 1 Chronicles 29:11, thine, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. For all that is in heaven and in the earth is thine. Thine is the kingdom, O Lord, and thou art exalted as head above all. We serve a mighty God. We serve a God that owns heaven, owns the earth, has made all, and is bigger than all. And there is nothing we can ever face that is bigger than God. There is nothing more than he can handle. And he says, I am the greatness. I am all the power. Although you, Tim, and you, Jen, and you, Christian, you lack all power. You lack all strength. You have nothing that can be used of God except your willingness, except your obedience, except your faithfulness. And he says, and by doing that, I am your strength because you lack strength. I am the greatness you need because you have none. And though we have nothing we can give to God to say, God, here is this. I am great. I am strong. I am powerful. He says, I don't need any of that because you don't have any of it. He says, I will be all the strength you need. I will be all the power you need. In Exodus 14:14, the Lord shall fight for you and ye shall hold your peace. Our God says he fights for us. He says as we go along and his will in our lives, he stands right beside us. He fights for us. He doesn't stand way back, far away, watching down from above as we may often think of it. No, he's right there with you. And if you're saved today, he's in your heart. He goes before you and he fights for you. Psalm 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth. With my song will I praise him. He says, I will be your strength. He says, I will be your shield. And because I am everything you lack, you can have great rejoicing. Because I don't leave you without the strength you need. I don't leave you without the protection you need. I am right there with you every moment of every day, giving you everything you will ever need. If you were to come to me and say, Brother Bundy, how do you know God's will for your life? I want to know what God wants of me. I would direct you to Proverbs 3:5-6. I call it the equation to God's will. Part one, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. This is important to understand. He's asking for every bit of your trust, every bit of your faith, every bit of your belief to be fully placed on him. And part two is like unto it says, and lean not into thine own understanding. It goes right along with that. You cannot trust fully in God and trust fully in your understanding, because this is the key. God's ways are above our ways. His sovereignty is immense and impossible and infinite. And we will not ever be able to understand all that he does. I think of so much of all the times we read in Scripture, when we see what God does, and then you look back and think of what these men and women of God went through, they would have never been able to understand what God was doing. But because they put their trust fully in God, and they did not lean into thine understanding, they were able to be used mightily of God. Because there's so much of the time I know in my life where I am saying, God, I don't know what's going on. I'm sure we've all faced that in our life. We've come to a point where we said, God, why is this happening to me? I don't understand what's happening. And he says, that's okay. Don't lean into thine own understanding. Trust in me. Part three, so important. In all thy ways acknowledge him. We serve a jealous God. We serve a God who is the only one worthy of praise, the only one worthy of glory and honor, and he wants the acknowledgement of his working in our life. The Bible says every good thing, every blessed thing is from above. Every good thing, every blessing we have in our life is straight from God himself. And he says, I want the glory for all. So when you trust fully in God, even through the hard times, even through the low times, even through the times you don't understand what's going on, and you give God the glory, the acknowledgement he deserves, then he says, I shall direct thy paths. How do I know God's will is for us to go to Ethiopia? How do I know God's will is for us to be church planters, missionaries, as we endeavor to serve the Lord? God, as I have trusted fully in him, as I have not leaned into my own understanding, because many of the times I don't understand. And I give God the glory as I give today and say, there is nothing in me that's worth anything to God. And I say it's all of God. Any good thing in my life that has ever happened and will ever happen on the mission field of Ethiopia, on our journey there and everything before, any good thing is all because of God. And as I give God that acknowledgement and I don't lean on my understanding and I trust fully in him, he has given me peace and directed me every single day. That is how you can know God's will. That is how you can understand God's leading in your life. That's how great an encouragement we can have in God's love for us, as he protects us, as he guides us, as he fights for us, as he leads us, and as he directs us. I think of Moses. I love the story of Moses, how he really tried in his own understanding to do God's will, and it led him to murder a man. And he had to flee from Egypt for decades, the Bible says. Until one day the Lord came down in a burning bush, embodied in a burning bush, and said, Moses, I have a plan for you. I have a will for you. I am directing you, Moses. And I want you to go back to that land of Egypt, and I want you to tell that Pharaoh to let my people go. And we know the story is Moses gave excuse after excuse and said, but God, surely you've got the wrong guy. I can't speak well, God. Surely there's someone better for this will of yours. And I love how God so clearly replies and says, Moses, who hath made man's mouth? Who hath made the seeing, the deaf, and the blind? Was it not I? Now go. I love that because it tells me it doesn't matter what I lack. God doesn't need me to be rich. He doesn't need me to be talented. He doesn't need me to be strong. He doesn't need me to be famous. He just wants my willingness to go. And he says, I am that I am. He's everything that I need. And as Moses finally gave in and surrendered to God, God was able to send him and bring down the plagues on Egypt and bring those people out of that land. I think of the story of Joseph. I love this story. It is harder to find someone who's been through more trials and tribulations than Joseph in Scripture. A young man, a teenager like some of you here today, who was betrayed by his own brothers, thrown into a pit, sold into slavery, brought to the land of Egypt, sold into Potiphar's house. He had every right in a worldly mind to say, I'm done with you, God. I have tried to live for you, and look where it's gotten me. But no, the Bible makes it so evidently clear that Joseph loved God and served God and was so encouraged by his God's love despite what he faced that that godless heathen Potiphar, his master, looked on him and said, that is a man of God who God blesses, and put him over all of his house. Joseph, as he continued to love God and serve God and stand for righteousness, was seduced by Potiphar's wife, as we well know. And day after day, lie with me, Joseph. And he would say, no. Day after day. Till one day, lie with me, Joseph. And he says, how can I do this great sin against God? And he fled and she ripped off a piece of his garment. And he fled and she brought it before her husband Potiphar and said, look how the Hebrew slave you brought into our house mocks us as he tried to rape me. And Potiphar, believing his own wife over a slave, threw Joseph into prison. Imagine what could have gone through his mind. God, I stood up for you. I did what was right. And now I'm thrown in prison, and their prisons are terrible. I guarantee you it was dank, it was cold, it was dirty, there was rats, it was nastiness, tons of mold, and no food. I guarantee you he starved on just crumbs. And he could have said, I'm done with you, God. But the Bible makes it clear, as he took courage in his God's love for him, the jailers, those godless heathen jailers, looked on Joseph and said, that is a man of God who God blesses, and put him over all the other cells, over all the other people in that jail. And Joseph, as he continued to serve God faithfully, even in that midst of where he was, he interpreted, God through him interpreted the dreams of a butler and a baker. And said, in 3 days, the butler will be brought back into Pharaoh's house and the baker will be put to death. And in 3 days' time, it happened. And he said to the butler, remember me. Tell about me to Pharaoh so I may be released. And the butler doesn't remember, but for years, until the Pharaoh has these dreams. You guys know the dreams. I'm just going to cut it for time's sake. But he says, the butler says, as the astrologers and the wise men and all the other people in Pharaoh's court could not interpret these dreams, the butler remembers and tells Pharaoh about this man in prison who God was able to use to interpret his dreams, and they came to pass. And the Pharaoh said to bring this man before him. And I love what happens when Pharaoh asked of him, I hear you can interpret my dreams. And Joseph acknowledges God and says, it is not I, but the Lord who interpret the Pharaoh's dreams. And there will be 7 years of plenty, of harvest, and 7 years of famine. And the Bible says, as Pharaoh made him over second in command over all of Egypt, that there was 7 years of plenty and 7 years of famine in all the lands. And God was able to use one man who took encouragement through his God's love, despite all that he faced, so that all the land could be saved from famine and starvation, including his own family. The point is, when we take encouragement, take courage in God and his love, and that we are more than conquerors through him, and that no matter what we face on this earth, our eternity is in heaven. And though we are free from our sins, and although we face all these things in this life, because we are free from our sins, we are more than conquerors. It doesn't matter what we face, we've already won. Because we've already got the most important thing, the most wonderful thing anyone could ever get. And we don't deserve a little bit of it whatsoever. And as Joseph and Moses understood their love, the love of their God, so can we take courage in our God. Every single day, there are times when we don't understand what's going on. And you say, I don't know what you want of me, God. I don't know what's going on. He says, trust in me. He says, give me the glory. And as you take that encouragement and God's love and his promises to you, he will direct all your paths. Number one, the encouragement of God's love. Number two is very short. Number three is very short. Number two, we look at the gift of God's love. We don't just have a God who says, I love you. We have a God who proved his love towards us. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. I have two simple points for this little point here. Number one, if you are not saved today, the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow is not promised. If you were to say, I don't know for sure I'm on my way to heaven. I don't remember a time when I put my faith in Christ or when I put my faith in His dying on the cross for my sins as He rose again 3 days later. I don't remember ever doing that. I've never put my trust fully in God. Then I'm here to tell you today, today is the day of salvation. If you've never done that, your eternity is set for a place called hell, of eternal torment, of eternal damnation, where there is nothing but fire and darkness and gnashing of teeth and pain and wailing, and where the worm dieth not as it eats your body apart. And you never have a moment of comfort, never have a moment of relief, as the rest of eternity you pay out a sin debt you can never pay. But the Bible says, though the wages of sin is death, our just deserts, our payments for sin is death and eternal separation from God in a place called hell. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It's a gift freely given as Christ gave His life. Perfect God came down in man, gave His life willingly, lied down on a cross, and died and rose again 3 days later, conquering our sins. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Our sins keep us from a perfect holy God. Our sins separate us from a perfect holy God. And He knew that, and His love was so immense, He was willing to sit in the gap. He was willing to give Himself so that we could cross that gap we could never cross on our own. So that although we have fallen short of that, He has justified us. That means He has declared us righteous. For by grace you save through faith, through simply putting faith in your God and understanding the grace He has given to you, we can be saved. I've done that before as just a young little boy. Many of you, I'm sure, have done it as well. But if you have not done it, if you've simply never called upon the name of the Lord, you are not saved. There is no two ways about it. You are either saved through putting your faith in God, or you are not saved through not putting your faith in God. One leads you to an eternity with God in heaven. One leads you to an eternity separate from God in hell. And I plead with you, I beg of you, don't leave this room without fully putting your trust in God, without today understanding that you are on your way to heaven. These things have I written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. You can know that today. Number two, if you are saved, the Bible tells us, God tells us, not to keep that light of His gospel to ourselves, but to share it with a dark and dying world, to take it to all the lands. As Acts 1:8 tells us to take it in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria to the uttermost. And as God has called me and my wife to go to the uttermost, He calls many of you, He calls all of us somewhere, but He calls many of you to this Jerusalem. Call some of you to the Judea, the next city over maybe, to the Samaria, the next state over, and to the uttermost, further and further away. But He calls us all somewhere to do one thing, to share that gift of God's love, the gospel. And I beg of you to understand this. And Jesus came and spake to them, saying, all power, all authority is given to me in heaven and the earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Amen. It is not a question. It is not anything other than a command. It is a calling that God has given to each and every one of us to share that gospel, that gift, if you are saved, to wherever He leads you, whether it's to Ethiopia in the uttermost, or whether it's to this town right here in Jerusalem or Samaria or Judea. He's called us all. Number one, we see the incursion of God's love. Number two, the gift of God's love. Lastly, and I end real quickly, number three, the extent of God's love. And I won't read these verses for sake of time, but we've already read them. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? And it goes on to say, basically, there is nothing or anything that can ever separate you at all from the love of Christ. The extent of God's love, it's infinite, and it's to all. I think of the story of a soldier who is returning from the Vietnam War. And he reaches San Francisco and calls his parents and says, "Mom and Dad, I'm coming home from the war. I have missed you so much." And Mom and Dad reply, "Oh, son, we've missed you too. Hurry home." "Oh, I will, Mom and Dad. I've got a favor to ask you, Mom and Dad. I've got a favor. I've got a friend who I fought alongside with in this war here, and I want him to come home with me, and I want us to take care of him. Son, please bring him by. We'd love to meet him. We'd love to be a blessing to him." "Mom and Dad, you're not fully understanding what I'm trying to ask here. You see, in the war he stepped on a landmine and lost his right leg and his right arm. And I want him to come with me and for us to take care of his life." "Oh, son, you don't know what you're asking. Such a thing as this would ruin all potential of your life. This handicap would ruin anything good you could have in your life. Just tell this friend to go on his way, and we're sure he'll be all right." The conversation ended, and the phones were hung up. A few days later, the parents receive a call from the San Francisco police asking them to come down and identify the body they believe to be their son. And as they came and saw this body lying on a table, it was indeed their son, but to their astonishment, he was missing a right leg and missing a right arm. We have a God today, as he looks down on us in love and doesn't look at us in all that we lack. The Bible says in Deuteronomy 6:4, our greatest righteousness is as filthy rags before this holy God. There is nothing we have that he looks at and thinks is worthy of anything. Our very righteousness is disgustingness, so much so our sins. Yet he chooses to love us so, and he looks out on us. It doesn't matter what you have or what you don't have. It doesn't matter if you're handicapped. It doesn't matter what you've done in life. It doesn't matter where you've been, what you've said, or what you've done in life. There is nothing you can ever do to make God love you any less. That's the God we have. That's the extent of our God's love. And he says to us, "I love even you." And understand this, as he said that to you and me, he tells us to see through those eyes, to see a world through the very eyes that he saw us. Because he had the 99 sheep, came after us, the one sheep, the one lost and astray, and came after us because his love was for us too. And he tells us to look at this world with those same eyes. And whether it's the homeless man down the street, the crack addict you see every day you come to school or go to work, or whether it's the family member that never wants you to hear a thing about God and curses at you, or the friend that doesn't believe there is a God and wants nothing to hear about it, or whether it's the acquaintance you meet down the street, or whether it's someone you go door knocking to meet that says, "I don't believe there's a God." It doesn't matter who it is. God says, look at them through the same eyes I have looked at you, and understand, I love them too. And I loved even you too, because you're no better than them. But I love everyone, every one of us, equally. The extent of God's love, it's to all. He is not willing that any should perish. So we need to understand in our hearts, as he has called me and my wife to go to Ethiopia, there's going to be some people that are not easy to witness to, right? There's going to be some people that won't want to hear anything about it, and that curse at us, and that perhaps will many come against us, protest, and some even harm, as I've seen time and time again with other missionaries. But God says, stay faithful, stay true, for my extent of my love is to them too. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the day. I thank you for the opportunity to open your word. And I pray it has been a challenge, as I know it's been a challenge to my heart, to understand the encouragement of your love. And it doesn't matter what we face. It doesn't matter what we lose or what we lack or what happens in life. We are more than conquerors. Or if you are with us, none can stand against us. And because you died on the cross for us, we have the greatest gift of all. And understand, number two, the gift of your love, the salvation you freely gave, and the eternity we can have in heaven. Or the eternity we will have if we deny you in hell. Help us to be soul winners. Help us to be the men and women of God you desire us to be, to take that light to the world. And number three, to understand the extent of your love is to any and all. You're not willing that any should perish. And that we need to bring the gospel to all you lead us to bring it to. We love you, Lord. We'll give you the glory, the honor, praise for all you do in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Bless God.